Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of our triune God, my dear fellow redeemed, what would you be willing to die for? That's a question that has many different answers. There are some who would be willing to die for a cause like freedom or to give their life up in defense of their country. There are others who might be willing to die for love, to save the life of a parent for their child, or for a husband to save the life of his wife or vice versa. There are some who might be willing to die for a stranger, that they see someone who is about to get hit by a bus, for example, and are willing to selflessly sacrifice themselves to save someone they wouldn't even know. But what about your dog or your cat? Would you be willing to die for your pet? Well, now that's a little trickier question, isn't it? Because there are some people who love their pets very much. They see their pet as a member of their family, but they also know that an animal life does not have the same value as a human life. So maybe they'd be willing to sacrifice a great deal of money to save the life of their pet, but to die in order to save their pet, well, we're not sure if someone would be willing to do that. What about a farm animal? A pig, or a cow, or even a sheep? Would you be willing to die to save the life of one of these animals? Well, now, the people who take care of those animals, a shepherd, for example, loves his sheep. He cares deeply for his sheep because they are a source of income. They are how he makes his livelihood. From that flock, he gets wool that he is able to clothe himself, wool that he is able to sell. He's able to get meat and milk from these animals. And so he wants to take care of them. He wants to make sure they're safe and healthy. He may even be willing to risk his life to save them from a predator. But to die for them? That doesn't seem to make much sense. But that's exactly the picture that Jesus wants us to have in our minds as we hear these words from the gospel this morning. We are sheep, and Jesus is our good shepherd who loves us dearly. We see the love and affection of that Savior depicted in art. We love this imagery of us as sheep and Jesus as our shepherd. As we look at that painting on the stained glass at the front of church, we see the love and care and compassion that our Savior has for us. Or on the picture that I picked for the sermon this morning, you see that image of our Savior, of our Good Shepherd, risking his life to save that one lost little sheep. Because after all, that's what good shepherds do. We hear other examples of this in Scripture. We hear how King David talked about how he risked his life to fight off a bear and a lion in order to save the sheep that were part of his flock. A good shepherd will risk his life to save his sheep. But you see, our good shepherd did something far greater than just risk his life to save us. Our good shepherd was willing to die to save his sheep. Now, the Bible often uses this imagery of God being a shepherd and his people as a flock of sheep. And on the one hand, we really like that picture. It's such a powerful image. We like this idea of Jesus as our good shepherd, and we, the small sheep, the lambs that our Savior is cuddling close to him. But on the other hand, being described as a sheep is not necessarily a flattering comparison. Because as animals, what do sheep have the reputation of being? They're docile, they're harmless, and actually they're really rather kind of stupid animals. And so if you're being compared to an animal, well, a sheep might not be the animal that you actually want to be compared to. For example, sheep are so foolish that sometimes in a storm, they will huddle together for warmth, but they don't know enough not to push so hard together that they actually sometimes suffocate each other because they can't breathe, because they don't know enough to be close, but not so close. Sheep, for example, also are helpless. If a sheep falls down a hill and lands on its back, there's absolutely nothing that it can do. The sheep is not able to roll itself over, and without a shepherd there to help it, that sheep will soon quickly die. Sheep often make very poor and foolish decisions. For example, I'm going to show you something I wouldn't normally do in a sermon, but it just makes such a powerful example of this, is just to show you a short video of how ridiculous sheep can be. And the reason I showed you that this morning is because that illustrates the foolishness of that sheep. What did it do? It had gotten itself stuck in that crevice in the ground. The little shepherd boy gets the sheep out, and what does it immediately do? It runs, it's happy, it's free, and it jumps right back into the exact same situation it had just gotten out of. But isn't that a perfect illustration of our lives of sin? That so often we know the things we shouldn't do. We turn, we pull back, our Savior leads us back, and what do? We run and jump headlong right back into those sins of habit that we know that we commit. We know that sin is wrong and not good for us, and yet what do? We do the same thing foolishly over and over again. As Paul says, we know the good that we should do, and we don't do it. And we are aware of the evil. We know it's wrong that we shouldn't do that. And yet, what do we find ourselves doing? We commit those sins over and over again. As foolish sheep, we know the warnings of God's word. We know not to do things that are destructive and harmful to our faith and things that harm our relationship with others. And yet, we find ourselves committing those sins again and again. We have the truth of God's word before us, the very voice of our good shepherd, and yet instead of listening to that voice, so often we listen to the voices of the false shepherds of this world, and we follow them into destruction. We allow them to lead us away from the voice of our good shepherd. We foolishly wander away from our Lord's flock, forgetting that out there is a roaring lion that is looking for every opportunity to devour us and destroy our souls. This is why we need a good shepherd who knows us, who loves us, and who wants to save us. This is exactly what Jesus is telling us when he says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus is reminding us just how intimately he knows each and every one of us. David tells us about the depth of God's knowledge that he has of us when he writes in Psalm 139, "Lord, you have investigated me, and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You keep track of when I travel and when I stay, and you are familiar with all my ways. Before there is a word on my tongue, you, Lord, already know it completely." That kind of intimate knowledge that our Savior has of us, on the one hand, is comforting, and on the other hand, it is also a terrifying thought. To think about just how much Jesus knows about us. Because that also means that Jesus knows all of our sins. Jesus knows about those sins that we commit when we are alone, when we think that no one else is watching. Jesus knows those dark, secret, terrible thoughts that we have about other people. Jesus knows every sin that we have committed. Jesus knows just how much we have sinned every day in our thoughts, words, and actions. Jesus knows exactly what kind of wretched, unworthy sheep we really are. And yet, even knowing all of that, we have a good shepherd that was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Now, if a normal human shepherd were to sacrifice his life to save his sheep, that might not necessarily save them. Just think, if a shepherd gets killed while fighting off a pack of wolves, the sheep now have no defense. That's why it's different when our good shepherd died for us. Because the death of Jesus Christ destroyed the power of our enemies. Because our shepherd was more than just a good shepherd. Our Savior was a perfect shepherd who was loved by the Father. And Jesus tells us that the Father loved him because he was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Jesus here is describing for us the perfect unity that exists between the Father and the Son. And the death of our good shepherd was able to pay for our sins because Jesus was able to do something that we could not. Jesus was able to live a perfect life free from sin. Jesus was able to live a life in perfect obedience to the will of the Father. We have a Savior who lived that perfect life, who always listened to the voice of his Father, who never did what that sheep in the video did. He never got himself into a sinful situation, and so he never had those sins of habit because he had no sin at all. He never wandered foolishly into temptation, but resisted all the attacks of Satan and lived a life free from sin. He was perfectly obedient to the will of the Father. He kept all of God's commandments, including being obedient to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. And because Jesus was perfect, he was able to offer that life as a sacrifice to make full and complete payment for all of your sins. Christ, our good shepherd, willingly died for his sheep in order to save them. He died for sheep who did not deserve that sacrifice. And what is more, Jesus did that willingly. Jesus says here when he is telling his disciples about being the good shepherd, this is several months before his crucifixion, and he tells them clearly that when he goes to Jerusalem to die, he is the one who is laying down his life. No one is taking his life from him. He is dying willingly in order to save his sheep. Jesus says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." Jesus is saying here that he offered his life as a sacrifice by his own authority, and he took it up again by his own authority. Now, a human shepherd may be able to die for his sheep, but he's not able to come back from the dead. It is only our good shepherd, who is both true God and true man, who could choose to lay down his life and then choose to take it up again. And by that resurrection, our Savior declared once and for all that he had destroyed the power of all our enemies. By his resurrection, Jesus shows that the Father has accepted his sacrifice, that our sins have been paid for in full, that we no longer need to bear the burden of guilt and shame for the wicked things that we have done because Christ has paid for them with his life. He has endured all the torments and hell in our place. Jesus tells us that it is by his authority that he takes up his life again. And it is by that same authority that Jesus has given us victory over the grave. Our good shepherd has removed the sting of death and has given us the victory of eternal life. This is that glorious vision that David has in Psalm 23 when he tells us that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we have that promise because by Jesus laying down his life for his sheep, he has destroyed all the power of his enemies. Because as sheep, we know that we are powerless to do anything to help ourselves. We can do nothing to save ourselves, to earn our salvation, and we can do nothing to defeat the power of our enemies. We needed a good shepherd who was willing to save us. And by faith in our good shepherd, by faith in Jesus Christ, we have been made sheep in his flock. And as faithful sheep of God's flock, we want to remain part of that flock. We want to listen to the voice of the good shepherd and follow where he leads us. We want to keep the commands of our good shepherd because we know that they are not burdensome. We know that our good shepherd has our best interests at heart, that he wants to lead us beside quiet pasture, or beside into green pastures and beside quiet waters. And how do we remain faithful sheep in God's flock? Well, we do this by listening to the voice of our shepherd. We do this by remaining faithful to God's word, by studying and growing in God's word, so that we can do what the Apostle John says and test the spirits of this world. We desire to regularly gather together with other sheep that are part of God's flock so that we can grow in our knowledge of the word, so that we can encourage one another and spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We also gather together with the sheep of God's flock so that we can come forward and get a joyful foretaste of that heavenly banquet that is waiting for us as we refresh ourselves with the body and blood that was shed for us on the cross for our sins. We also work together to support the ministry of our church and the work of our synod, to train up under-shepherds of our good shepherd who will continue to proclaim God's word in its truth and its purity, to proclaim the voice of the good shepherd, to be able to go out and to bring other sheep that are not of the sheep pen and bring them into the flock of our Savior. Here Jesus gives us a glimpse of the glorious unity that we will have with all Christians, with all believers of all time on the last day, when we will all be gathered together and be one flock under one shepherd. When we will be that great multitude of every tribe, nation, and language gathered together before the throne of our God with the victory that is ours by our Savior who has defeated the power of the grave for us. What an amazing gift we have in our Good Shepherd. We see the love and compassion, the mercy that our Savior has for us, his care for our well-being and life in the picture of him as our Good Shepherd, as he is there gathering his sheep to himself. We have that Savior who loved us so much that he was willing to die for us, who knows us intimately, who knows how much we do not deserve his salvation, but was willing to suffer and die in order to save us. We have a good shepherd who by his death and resurrection defeated all of our enemies, who removed the sting of death, who removed the fear of Satan, who crushed the head of Satan, so that we too can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. For our God, our good shepherd, is with us always. Amen.